over here. Hey guys. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And we're back today. We're back.
We took a little break and a lot of developments, actually, a lot to talk about with you guys today. And we lost our Instagram account. And we should have actually posted the tweet by our enemies. If you guys noticed, there's 18 people watching. If you followed us on Instagram, we lost our Instagram account. I'm trying to fight for the Instagram account. And the reason why that is because Antifa, Miami Against Fascism, on Twitter, reported our account. They can't let us live. They can't stand to see us online, despite the fact that we never mention them. We never talk about them. They're irrelevant in our lives. But they don't like the fact that two Latinas exist and are influential and have built something that they can't build. So they do what communists do, which is take away from you because of their envy and jealousy for our success. So at this moment in time, if you were looking for our Instagram account, we don't have it because Antifa reported it to Instagram. And you want to elaborate?
Yeah, I do. But before we get started, lot to say. Of course, I have a lot to say. I don't know why this is acting crazy right now on my end, but guys, please, if you're just joining the chat, share, like, subscribe. Clearly we lost our Instagram page, so we're not even able to push our own podcast on Instagram. So by you sharing and liking and telling your friends to watch us, liking us helps get on the algorithm. And if you're not subscribed, then like, what are you even doing? Subscribe to us, because we're
basic. Subscribe to us, like our video, share it, help us. And Bella will elaborate on the Instagram story, but don't forget to check out our sponsor, Sentry H2O. If you need a under the sink filtration system, I have a Sentry water right here. I always do. My pets drink Sentry. Sentry is basically a 10-step under the water filtration system that you can easily install at home. If you have a small apartment like myself, even in your bathroom, you can do it. Do it in about 30 minutes or less, depending on how your skills are. It removes all the toxins that you don't want in your water, including chloride. What else, Bella?
What I'm going to add to that is that just today, so because we have the sponsorship with Sentry, I consistently go on and just kind of check to see like what's going on with the water contamination across the U.S. And in the last 2 days, there is claims coming out of Hawaii and claims coming out of contaminated water supply in Des Moines, Iowa. So this water filtration system is going to help clear the water of all sorts of gross stuff that's already in there and stuff that's going to be added there.
We've fluoride.
Talked consistently about Walgreens. Walgreens, which we know is turning the frogs gay and maybe the people too. We're not sure. But... yeah, guys, check out Sentry H2O. They are still doing work out of East Palestine, Ohio. We're always so proud to be affiliated with them. We think it's a great brand. We know that it's an amazing product that we live by. We've done tests where even just like freezing ice cubes, you can tell the difference where we went from having these really foggy ice cubes to these really clear ice cubes. And that's just kind of like personal testimony of things that we've experienced. But please support our sponsor, Sentry H2O, which help us keep the lights on.
And you can use our code MPL10 for a small percentage off. It's a very inexpensive product compared to all the other products. And it remineralizes your water, unlike other systems. Meaning it puts back things like sodium and calcium. So support our friends. And they're also made in the USA. With that being said, we are working on getting back our Instagram, which hopefully Meta will do what's right and give it back to us, because we actually have no violations on that Instagram at all. Antifa's problem is that Bella exists.
Yeah.
And
well, because I've exposed them, right? Because right. I've clearly hit a nail on the head by exposing who we believe is behind the account, which we believe that it's a coordinated assault within the a very powerful tier one PR firm down here in Miami. And the fact that I've exposed that has made me a target. We're basically scared to be activists. So we're scared of activism work that we did back in 2021. And here's the thing that I definitely want to make a point on. And thank you so much to, oh, well, I can't even read them. Something's going on with the internet and my computer. Is it something? Is your internet fine?
My internet is fine, yeah.
Thank you to Chupa. Can you read it out loud, Linda? Because I don't have it on my...
Yes. Hold on. Where are you? I have to go back. You can't see it? It's Chupa Mi Virgo. Literally, I already know who this is. Miami against fascism, some unos comechernas, and they're going to lose. They are going to lose. And they've been losing. That's actually the problem with Miami against fascism.
Correct.
The fact that they've lost, the fact that Miami-Dade is red, the fact that the school board was taken over, the fact that Carla Matz won, which is the client of Balsera Communication, which is the client of Balsera Communication, the fact that we actually have people, liberals, that listen to her podcast, and now they're inquiring about conservatism or whatever you want to call it. So that is actually the problem with Miami against fascism, is that they don't actually have any influence outside of Twitter. They're actually very similar to that of the Simps or the Santis Bros or the Santarts, as I like to call them, in the way that they think that Twitter is real life, right? They think that they have no influence in Miami. They, you know, you saw it last week when it was the Trump indictment. Unfortunately, we couldn't record that Thursday, but we were there. We went to see Trump. We went to support the president. And we can tell you that the city was filled MAGA. In fact, we actually Bella spoke to Telemundo the day before I spoke to CNN. And all these reporters were out there saying how they were shocked to find out that Trump has... basically no opposition here in Miami. They're like, wow, there's like no opposition. So much different than New York, right? When there was an indictment in New York and you have so many of these liberals going out there and they had to like separate them. There was not even a separation between liberals and conservatives in Miami because there's no fucking liberals. Six Antifa people showed up. We posted them on Twitter and only literally four of them live here. The other two don't even live here. So that's how little influence these people have. Adam, thank you so much. Always coming through. Adam says, happy Thursday, ladies. Praising God because I landed my dream job last week. And it looks like I may be moving back to the 305 this fall. So excited not to share Biscayne Bay. Amazing, Adam.
Let's congratulations. Go, Adam!
Hopefully we get to meet you in person. You've been a great, great supporter of ours. And we appreciate you, especially when you send not just money, but gifts like the prayer book that
we
I always
read on a regular basis
every month.
It's permanent on my nightstand.
Yeah, it's actually on my work desk. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And then there's Emery Roy. He says, screw Meta and the Marxist radicals, rhinos trying to destroy truth and our country. God bless you, ladies. Thank you so much, guys. Of course, we'll be answering questions at the end. Feel free to use the super chat and help us out. But here's what we're going to talk about today, a little bit of the submarine. And
wait, I'm not done talking about Antifa.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to say one more
thing. I was just going to go through the
topics. I want to say one more thing, which is the really obvious thing, which is the that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
And that's that for the last 2 years, we have made the governor very well aware of the harassment campaign. Linda and I are not the only targets. Linda and I are just the loudest ones because we have
main
a platform. Well, we've done the math. We're not the main, absolute,
right.
But we are amongst the top five.
Yeah.
The governor is very well aware that this has been detrimental, which I'm sure that it's something that Antifa, this PR firm celebrates, has been detrimental to activism growing down here in South Florida. And it's because we have testimonies of mothers that were involved in school board efforts and wanted to become more involved by knocking on doors or other parts of civic action and have actually taken a step back because they are terrified for their life because of people like Caleb Freestone or Elizabeth Sanchez, true violent Antifa people that have been in prison, that are that have vandalized centers, that have attacked parents at school board meetings. So the governor is very well aware of this. And I think that this is the part that maybe like even Linda and I have failed at a bit, which is not holding him accountable. Because the truth is that one tweet from Governor Ron DeSantis to Elon Musk to have that account taken down would be sufficient. And they've chosen not to take that step. They've chosen to allow the MAGA supporters of South Florida to be harassed, doxxed, intimidated, shame, you name it. And he's allowed that. And I think that that's something that's worth noting, because one has to wonder, does it have something to do with how powerful the MAGA base is down here in South Florida and that it's not his base? Mm-hmm. Another thing to mention about Governor Ron DeSantis is, for example, his bills that said that we weren't going to allow any more radical books in schools. And that's great. What a great law. Everybody was so excited about that until you're a parent that actually complains about said books. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get doxxed by somebody internally within the Dade County school system. And then at which point Antifa will pick it up and they'll send it to all of their friends at the press that they're connected to because they're a tier one PR agency, at which point it turns into a national story. And now you, a mom that complained about a book, can too see your face plastered all over national media as a white supremacist, you know, whatever hate filled, what was it that I heard them call the Karen Ku Klux Klan, whatever name it is that they want to make up for mothers. So DeSantis really shouldn't be beating and bumping his chest about how free Florida is and how he's passed all these great laws. When those laws are put in place, mothers are persecuted. Right. So I think that that's definitely something that's worth mentioning about the current state of the free state of Florida and where
you're not even allowed to, I guess, you know, these people that hold us accountable. That's what they say. We're holding you accountable. We're holding you accountable for your ideology. And they're allowed to do so on Twitter. I don't think they're going to be there for longer. I think that they're going to feel what retaliation really looks like. Since they want to fuck around and they're going to find out. They've tried everything. They've tried to paint us as violent people. They always like to say that we've incited violence, that we are anti-Semitic, that we...
Well, they lie. They say that I was on the Capitol.
They say that she was...
visited by the FBI, that I cheated on my husband. I mean, you name it. They make up every single lie that they could possibly make up to slander somebody's character.
Right. Because so that they don't work with you. The party doesn't want you. You can't get a job. And it's all on Twitter. And
to ruin your credibility, right? Because they notice that they see how influential it is. They see that it's a powerful force. And because it is, in a very humble situation, anytime that you have two minority women that just a few years ago were Democrats and are actually, by normal standards, actually pretty moderate, that becomes a problem towards your narrative. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they need to try and discredit us whatever way. They'll take the, you know, when we open up every show and we're like, don't, you know, we're not funded by lizard people. They take that seriously. You know, we believe in lizard people, so we must be crazy people. It's just, it's sick. But the part that's really upsetting for me is that Governor Ron DeSantis is very well aware that activists in South Florida have been harassed on Twitter. People have been fired. Mothers have gone into early labor. People have had to step back from activism. And the governor is very well aware of this. In fact, not just the governor. Commissioners are aware of it. State representatives are aware of it. Senators are aware of it. The mayor's aware of it. The police department is aware of it. Yeah. Everyone is aware of it. And we are working with some people to make sure that the right action is taken now. But if we can ask you guys for any help, is that if you have a Twitter account, report the page, tag Twitter safety. They don't want Elon Musk to find their page and ask them, why is it that this page, whose sole purpose is to harass conservatives for their political ideology in South Florida, not even an organic page at that, a page that's paid with millions and millions of PR dollars, with a PR agency that's linked right back at the waist to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, George Soros, the usual names. It's almost like hard for me to believe that we're trapped in the middle of this really insane story. Yeah. I feel like I'm like, if there was like a WikiLeaks like movie, like somehow we'd be like caught into it because of the proximity to these awful people.
Yeah.
Freddie Balseda, Julio Ligoria, Sonia V. Diaz, by name, go fuck yourselves.
Jenny Lee Molina,
who Billy now Corbin. Works with the governor, Billy Corbin. What's Billy Corbin's?
Andrew Spellman.
Andrew Spellman. You know, the usual suspects out here in Miami. But you guys are still here with us. Our influence isn't going away. We're going to keep on speaking out.
We do ask you to report them. If you have a Twitter account, they are Miami Against Fash. We'll post them here and report their tweets. And would they need to come down, they can say, oh, you guys are crying. All you do is cry about us. Okay. Actually, no, we tried not paying attention to you at all, but you made it impossible for us to
exist.
And so we're going to make it impossible for you to exist. How about that? Moving on. We want to cover a little bit of what's going on. As you guys know, there has been a submersible. This week I learned that a submersible is not the same thing as a submarine that went missing in the Atlantic over tourism, what they call adventure tourism. I myself, I am more of a cabana type of girl. I'm more of a beach type of girl. I like to take it easy on adventures. That's my type of adventures. And so basically, what people knew was that this little ship that kind of looks like a weird vibrator went down to observe the Titanic on Sunday, never came back up. They lost track of these people within like an hour or an hour and a half of the trip or something like that. Anyways, today we find out, move forward, the whole world is at a standstill. The whole world is wondering what's going on with these people. And there's obviously only a few different situations that they could have gotten themselves in, which is that on the way there, they imploded or they got stuck down there. So who's going to go get them? Point is, they sent a robot who can actually go to the depth of the ocean, and they found debris. They brought debris and they pretty much confirmed that the people had imploded. Why I bring this up? It's because allegedly, about an hour ago, news came out that a secret U.S. Navy program or ship actually heard the implosion on Sunday when it happened. And now they're speculating that the Biden administration didn't actually say anything over all of the scandals that are going on with his son, Hunter Biden. What are some of the scandals? The main one is an IRS whistleblower. I wish I would have pulled up the text. I don't know if you guys saw the text on Twitter. I guess Hunter Biden was actually texting one of his CCP associates. I have the text right here if you can pull it up, Bella. He was texting one of his associates. What?
Airdrop it to me and I'll post it up.
Hold on. And this is Hunter Biden. And he's texting a Chinese man that he's doing business with from the CCP, by the way. And he says this, I'm sitting here with my father and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, obviously a Chinese last name, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father.
The crackhead really thought that he was the boss.
And that's actually what's going on with the Biden. What is it? Crime family. What Biden calls crime family. Crime family.
So that wasn't the only story.
That's not the only story, but that's the main one right now.
No, it is the main one. But to me, the really entertaining one was the one where basically an erotic dinner club that's basically this this haven for rich people to engage in, I guess, questionable sexual acts, but want the ability to remain, to keep it secret. So there's this degenerate club, basically.
Basically,
it's a degenerate club. They have one in Miami, by the way.
They have it everywhere.
They have one in Miami. They're in New York. They're in Moscow, in Kiev, and in Miami. That's where they're at.
Nice.
And in Beverly Hills. And the name of the club is the SNCTM. They've got like such a fucking weird logo. It's just fucking weird. Anyways, so I'm going to read you guys what it is that they claim. The story of SNCTM. I want you guys to hear this. A Sanctum Limited Liability Company was founded in 2013 in Beverly Hills, California, following critical acclaim for our world-class masquerade events. So very eyes wide shut, if you will. In 2015, Sanctum Club evolved into SNCTM, Sanctum, a private members club hosting black tie erotic masquerades, a luxury diner, and a quarterly class teaching fetish and erotic arts, and a pool party series. From our humble beginnings in Los Angeles, Sanctum has expanded its permanent presence to New York City, Miami, Moscow, Kiev, and select other around the world. In 2017, Sanctum was the subject of the Showtime scripted series Naked Sanctum.
I honestly think that's the least of the worst of Hunter Biden, that he got kicked out of a sex club, because the real scandal here is all of the stuff that's coming out of the Burisma, and apparently the Department of Justice, who was hiding evidence against Hunter Biden, pretty much covering up for him, is one of the things that I'm reading here. Let's see.
What?
IRS whistleblower reveals that Hunter Biden once sent a text message demanding payment from his Chinese business associate, telling him the text message that I just read to you guys, and that the Department of Justice prohibited investigators from executing a search warrant on Joe's guest house where Hunter was staying. The IRS whistleblower also revealed that the IRS recommended felony charges for Hunter Biden because he failed to pay more than $2.2 million in taxes on $8.3 million of income from foreign entities in Ukraine, China, and Romania. According to the IRS whistleblower, the DOJ verified on October 2019 that Hunter Biden's laptop was real. They went on to work with big tech to censor news stories about it during the 2020 election. UJ officials also prevented any questions from being asked about the email to Hunter saying 10 held by H for the big guy. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our judicial system. That is, is that Stephanie?
There's been, you know, there's clearly been, part of what happened is that there hasn't been a free investigation that's taken place because the Department of Justice has stepped in and decided what is an okay punishment for Hunter Biden, the same Department of Justice that wants to see Trump spend 100 years in prison for having access to documents that he had every right as president to declassify.
I'm also, just so you guys know, the lawyer of Kodak Black, if you guys know that President Trump pardoned Kodak Black, before that he served years in jail, and it was kind of like the same crime that they were comparing. It's like, It's crazy how you don't see BLM or the left actually coming against or defending Kodak Black. That's, you know, how they're always like, right. Oh, it's a justice. Like, he's a black man that was treated completely different than Hunter Biden in similar situations. And so his lawyer comes out and says, like, what is this double, like, what is this hypocritical judicial system where Hunter Biden gets nothing for all these crimes, and my client got like 2.5 years in jail or 5 years in jail or something like that. Something, you know, that President Trump had to pardon him
for the same crime. And we can't even, like, honestly, like, I don't even feel comfortable on the channel talking about the contents of the laptop. Like, it's so much more. Well,
just so you guys know, the left's still denying it because one of our gay friends actually, Brokeback Patriot, yesterday tweeted something hilarious. He goes, my favorite picture of Hunter Biden laptop is where he's measuring his penis with M&Ms, which it's 100% real. I've seen the picture. I saw it in 2020. I'm pretty sure it's still saved in my files. And then under that comment, it's like, liberals just going at him like, of course you would push this Russian propaganda. You say, and then he like links it, right? So he's like, it's here.
Here's the 107 like, pictures of freaking Hunter Biden measuring with his junk. Penis.
Like, he measured. Yeah, it was so weird. He was so weird. So,
who's that self obsessed with their own penis? You know what? Hunter Biden watches whatever.
Hunter Biden watches the
Hunter
whatever
Biden podcast. For sure watches the whatever podcast.
Speaking for of the sure. whatever podcast, before coming in here, jumping in here, and maybe this is something we can talk about later, but. Before jumping in here, I read this very disturbing tweet from a man that says that, and you know who commented on him? It was Ian Smith. And he says that, where is it? I took a picture of it. If you're a single guy and dating is a disservice to you and your future family. If you're a single guy and dating, it is a disservice to you and your future family to be spending tons of money on first dates. Coffee and a walk is optimal first date. Get steps in, $5 investment, walks, create conversation. If she expects fancy stuff, you dodge the bullet. Somewhat true, somewhat not true. But also when you think about it, like if you're a girl, just getting your hands and feet done for me is $70 on the low end.
Oh, not to mention your
not
hair,
to mention your lashes, hair, your not makeup. To mention.
Yeah, like. It goes, but you know, here's the thing, the whole thing of the argument about the coffee date, I told you this before. Like,
yeah.
I think that in this like fast dating market,
if you're like serial dating.
I'm
I
not
guess.
Trying. Yeah. Like I can see, well, I'm clearly I'm married, but once upon a time I was single. And sometimes I used to go on, I did spend a small window of time where I was on the dating apps, and it was, that does seem optimal to me for the same, probably for the same reason they do. They don't want to invest money. I don't want to invest time. Like, I don't want to have to sit through a whole dinner if I don't like you. So yeah. A coffee date or a walk date helps me figure out if I like you enough to invest on a second date.
A walk date in the summer heat in Miami?
Well, I mean, and or a coffee date. Like, who the fuck wants to drink coffee in the middle of the day? Unless you're taking me to a site.
These people don't live here. So it's different.
But I think that it goes back because my follow-up question to that would be, okay, what about the second date?
Well, somebody actually, AJ is right. This is more of like courtship. Like courtship used to be a little bit different than mm-hmm. dating, right? Which is true. Like back in the day, you'd go for a walk, you read poems, you read a book, you go on a picnic.
Right.
Like those were things that were like customary for like courting women, yeah. You know? But they were also trying to like, they weren't trying to grab your boob and shit. They weren't trying to have sex. But a lot of these men, not all of them, but a lot of these men don't want to make an investment, but they also want to get an investment. Not all of them.
Of course. But here, let's read famous words. Let's read famous words from me. Let's read famous words by Bella. I wish I had a soundboard right now to like give it some kind of noise, right? So I posted the following on our YouTube channel, I believe about 2 weeks ago, and I said the following. Chivalry is an act only men of true value mm-hmm. can engage in. Mm-hmm. It's defined as showing honor, generosity, and courtesy. Mm-hmm. These behaviors are not dependent on how women respond. Mm-hmm. Chivalry is not something you turn on or off. Mm-hmm. You're either a man that honors his leadership and therefore engages in honorable mm-hmm. behavior towards women, or you're not. Many weak men will call chivalry simping. But here's the part they fail to acknowledge.
Important word.
Simping is when you're transactionally chivalrous. You only show generosity and courtesy because you want to obtain something in return. Women are born with a sixth sense that allows them to differentiate when a man is being chivalrous because that's his character versus when it's being done to gain something in return.
Yep.
That is why simps stay benched and why they get used by women. Stop convoluting the two. Chivalry commands reciprocal respect. Simping commands transactional reciprocity.
Wow, a prophet.
A prophet, honestly.
A writer. A philosopher. Sorry, it's a philosopher.
Too strong for our time.
It's philosopher.
The difference between, look, a courteous man will open a door for a woman, will want to pay for the day, would mm-hmm. want to show her some level of protection. Because here's another thing that the whatever podcast or whatever doesn't, or Fresh and Fit or any of these other podcasts don't talk about, which is just natural human biology. If we were still living in caves, men would be going out to do the hunting and bringing the hunting back to their cave. That is the equivalent of paying for a meal in modern day society. Right?
Right.
These are the roles. You can't say, I heard Pearl now saying, oh, well, I really embrace traditional values and I really embrace traditional marriage. No, you don't,
because if she did, she wouldn't even be online. Well, she wouldn't even be online.
But it's like, even if you were, how are you going to tell men that women suck, they shouldn't get married, they shouldn't have this, women, you should cheat, you should do all that, and then say like, I really support the traditional value. Bitch, no, you do not. No, you are not. Simping, the difference between, because people are like, oh yeah, you guys want chivalry, blah 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 blah, because you just want people to simp for you. No, the difference between chivalry and simping is a man that wants to get into your pants and cannot understand that you are not interested and continues to do chivalrous acts, but in expectant of some kind of reciprocity, something in return. I'm going to get in your pants. You're going to give me access. You're going to give me your number. That's simping. A man that's chivalrous can open up a door for a woman. And if that woman is rude, maybe they're going through another door and he doesn't open the door for her there, because it demands a mutual respect. Correct. It demands that a woman show a certain level of subversion to said man that is demonstrating his leadership through the process of being chivalrous. When you are chivalrous, expecting something in return, that is fake, and that's why you get played. Because the women are clearly telling you and showing you, I am not interested, and you continue to push along because you're hoping that if you spend enough money, invest enough resources, then maybe you'll get a chance. Or maybe sometimes, because a lot of these dudes are corny as fuck, they just want to be seen with the hot girl. So they simp just so that they can have proximity to this hot woman, so that then they can tell their friends, oh, this is who I'm chilling with, or they can tell other women, this is who they have access to. That's the difference between simping and chivalry. It isn't the same thing. Men that are chivalrous are men that don't, like, when I hear Brian from whatever say, oh, I'll never pull out my wallet on a first date, I'll never pull my wallet out, I never hear him talk about the second date. So, like, what happens if you like the girl, you're gonna ask her to pay on the second date?
I think most of these people just don't live in reality.
Are you, you're not gonna ask a girl to pay on the third date?
You don't live in a reality, because, like, even my, you know, somebody here mentioned that they went on a rollerblade with her wife on the first date. It's funny, Michelle also married, and she actually married into a very wealthy guy. Her first date was actually, I wouldn't say the place because we can't give details, but she went to a place that we like to go to,
okay,
on the beach.
Okay.
Coincidentally, she didn't know about it back then, but he did. But they went on a rollerblading date, and then they went there.
And, like, that's cute. Like, I'm doubt. My thing is, like, the overall development of the actual relationship. Like, do you never pay? Like, does somebody like Brian from whatever think that he just can get away with never paying for a date? Because then that begs the question, why should the woman pay?
Right.
Like, if you don't feel like the date is worth investing, why should the woman feel like you're worth investing? I go back to the part where it could make all of you incels or just angry, bitter men as upset as you want to be about it. Women are the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Women today, will always, you know, be the prize.
Today, somebody else, some other guy, I never heard of him before, but I did see, I forgot his name, he's a black liberal, but he talks about men being the prize. And today his post was a woman that I think she had like a bad butt job, like a bad booty job, where she got a bunch of injections. It wasn't fat. So those injections sometimes become very problematic, and then they have to, like, literally cut up in your ass and take the silicone or whatever that is out. So basically he shows, I'm not going to show it here because it's too graphic, and it was on Twitter, obviously. And then basically it shows the women how they stitched her, like, here in the crease of the booty. Mm-hmm. And then he posts that and he goes, oh, like, this, like, men, like, look at what women do for us. Like, we're the prize, you know?
Oh, God. But they're not the prize.
They're not the prize.
Like, they're just not the prize. Like, but, I get the fresh and fit argument where they're like, oh, well, men are the ones that are offering marriage and offering the lifestyle. I get that. It's because there's value in both men and women. Right. Any ideology that tells you that one gender has more value than the other is a problematic ideology, feminism.
That's actually what Pearl did today. That the one of the things, another two with this girl, Pearl, you guys, you know, we talked about her before, was what will happen if society, like, if women were around, well, first of all, men will never be able to reproduce. I guess we'll have to have children in like fake wombs.
Right, because she made the point that...
Right, like, what would happen in society? Like, what would happen?
Because society would collapse. But
because men have built everything. Right. It's like, see, but that's the problem. Because you continue to polarize our genders as opposed to making it of, like, we're supposed to...
We can't exist without one another.
...complement each other.
Correct.
And we both need each other. Like, men need women as much as women need men. Like... No one is saying that we want to be engineers. I mean, there's so many engineers. I don't want to be a trash man.
Like, I don't want to pick up garbage.
Whatever it may be, like, no one is trying. It's like I was telling Bella today on the phone. I said, you know, for as much as they give shit about, like, oh, traditional women, they don't take up these roles or powerful roles. I mean, look at what Queen Elizabeth had to step into. Whether you guys believe she's a lizard or a bad person or eight children, it doesn't matter. The truth and the reality is that historically, she's going to go down history as somebody that was never supposed to get that role. Why did she inherit that role? Because her uncle ran after a woman that he couldn't make his wife, and whatever happened, and he literally dropped his royal titles to go after vagina. That's what happened. And so therefore she inherited her dad died, and then she inherited this role. I mean, like, I'm not saying that you have to, like, rule a nation, but the reality is that through history, we've seen women take on these roles because the men weren't there.
Yeah, I think that women are forced you know? To stand up. When men are weak, then, like, women it's will rise like, up. But I think I mentioned this, like, 2 weeks ago. It's never without sacrifice. There's a lot of things that line up with the way that I see, like, gender roles and the manosphere ideology to some degree, where I do believe that men are natural born leaders. I do believe that men are meant to be protectors. I do believe that men are supposed to provide security. I believe in those things. The problem with the manosphere is that it makes men resentful about that role that they're biologically set up to take.
It's the same thing with feminism. Feminism Correct. Makes you resentful against men. Right. That's why the feminists blame the patriarchy for everything.
Correct.
Right. And whereas a man may never know what it's like to be catcalled or have to worry about being raped, or there's so many things that you worry to as a woman. Right. Like, for example, like, I don't, even in my neighborhood, that's really safe. Like, I don't walk around. I don't walk my dog past a certain time because you never know. Right. Like, I've seen
there's certain things you need to be aware of as a woman.
Exactly. But anyways, with that being said, we've gone at the subject. Speaking of the manosphere, the Tate brothers were charged for rape and human trafficking, if I'm not mistaken.
Human trafficking, correct.
And I think rape as well. It was one of them.
Okay, so I'm going to present a question. I'm going to present a question, right? We already know that you can't trust no hoes. Like, I get that. I'm being a good woman. I understand that you cannot, in fact... My computer is completely frozen, so I don't know if we have something on there. If we do, can you take it out?
Yeah, that's what it was. Andrew Tate charged with rape and human trafficking.
So here is trust no hoes, right? And again, the difference is that the manosphere thinks all women are hoes. No, that's not true. All women are not hoes. They are good, strong women that will stand by your side, that will offer you support, that will hold you down. I know that to the manosphere, like, none of those things are valuable, but let me explain to you why it is valuable. Because when you're filling your time with random women like Andrew Tate does, you expose yourself to hoes that ain't worth a shit. Had he been with one good, loyal woman, or even if he had just been with his two or three wives that he wants to have, and just...
You never see Arab Habibis getting into troubles, even if they got three wives. You never see them getting into this type of situation.
Why? Because hoes ain't shit. We've been there. We've seen it in real life. Hoes ain't shit. I get it. I know it's hard out there for men, because I know that when women are trash...
Oh, we have a story. Let me tell you something. We're going to tell you a story right after this about hoes and what they do to men.
But you know what? It's funny because I do think about that story because we've seen it happen. And it's clearly somebody like Andrew Tate, who's running through women, right? Because they've got a revolving door of women that are around them. Even if they're not necessarily fucking them, they just want to have women around them. Because again, women are the prize. They're the commodity. So the same way that you wear a Rolex or drive a Bugatti, you want to have a hot chick on your arm. Women are the most base commodity that a man can have.
Right.
So his desire
appeal,
right, and to demonstrate his success through the Bugattis, through the Rolexes, and through the massive amounts of women has now put him in a situation where it is that same vice of wanting many women that can now potentially be his downfall. Now, I personally, I think that the entire ideology of getting women, and we know, we can argue this all he wants. It was part of his website. He was very proud of the fact that he could get women to fall in love with them and then basically convince them to do things that maybe they wouldn't have naturally done. One of those instances is that he would bring girls from other, the claim is allegedly, he'd bring girls in from other countries to promise them love, marriage, babies, lifestyle, and then put them to cam and that, and basically use his influence to push that. While I do think that that is trash,
yeah,
I also don't think that that's human trafficking.
No, I don't think that's human trafficking. I just, you know, you're in Romania. You are in a very corrupt country where the powers are greater than your social media clout. And you should have walked a fine line, right? Like, we live in this world, I guess you could say, new world order or occupation, where if you are that influential, you know that you're going to have eyes on you and people wanting to fuck you over. They've tried to do it to us, and we don't got a Bugatti. Like, we're not rich people. And
right, we're not the most Googled man on the internet.
Right, we're not anywhere near Andrew Tate's stuff. I mean, they try to do it to a lot of people. They're right now, what's his name? The fighter, McGregor. He's being accused by a woman that allegedly he raped her as well. I mean, this is the oldest thing. You guys know that this almost happened to Neymar. So Neymar Jr., who's one of the world's probably best soccer players alive right now, total star. He plays, I think, for Barcelona right now, or is he in Paris? I don't know. He's somewhere in Europe playing. Anyways, Neymar was almost accused of rape, and you know what saved him? That he had a camera in the living room of the of his hotel or his apartment or whatever it was. He had home cameras. So in the video, you can actually see that you can see the camera is positioned to look into the living room, but then a little bit towards the room. And so he's laying on the bed. You could see his legs on the bed. And then the girl throws herself on Neymar and there starts trying to, I guess, engage in like something. And then he says, no, 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 like back off type of stuff. Right. And then immediately she gets up and she starts beating him up.
No,
she starts beating him up and he's like, no, stop. Like trying to like make her stop. And like everyone on Twitter was like, had he not had this camera, he would have been accused of rape. And then battery. And it was all because he had that camera that he wasn't intending to film. It's just his house.
But again, things that you wouldn't have to worry about
if you were in a hoe.
That's when they're like, what do women bring? What do women? You don't got a Bugatti. You don't got a Bugatti.
Good women are not going to put you in jail for these type of allegations.
Good women are going to hold you up. I always, again, my favorite example will forever be Keisha Noir and Gucci Mane. That will always be my favorite example because there's so many good women like that. He went to jail. She didn't take his money. She multiplied it. He got out. She held it down. She helped him get in shape. She motivated him to be healthy, to give up drinking, to have a family, to start building himself. Now he's richer than ever, looks better than ever. He's got a family. He's reached this like plentitude of life. And it's because he had a good woman behind him holding him down. So this idea that even because Trump, a woman can provide financially, that if a woman's role isn't to provide financially or to drive a Bugatti, that somehow it's a competition. Fam, it's not a competition. A good woman will also create a safe space for the man that she's with.
Agreed.
Even Trump.
Why is Trump in trouble with Stormy Daniels? Because he decided to whatever it was that he did with Stormy Daniels. And now she's able to hold that over his head. And men have always, since the beginning of time, if you believe in the Bible, even with Adam and Eve, have fallen for the trap of these type of women. And then they want to paint the rest of us, good women, with the same brush.
Well, they want to devalue good women because of the actions of bad women. And, you know, particularly in these manosphere red pill circles, so often you hear, well, the woman chose wrong. If you're dating men that cheat on you, then you chose wrong. Well, if you're dating women that are hoes that are out there trying to date you for your fucking money, maybe you chose wrong. Maybe you dated a woman because of the wrong things. Maybe you were more concerned with the way that she looks or how hot your friends thought she was, because ultimately that's really all that it goes down to when you're making bad decisions about dating, is that you value this the image part more than you do the actual person by your side. So,
well, they apparently the trial is going to last like a lot of years. I'm reading here, and it's going to take a while.
Someone said Bill Clinton cashed out his side chick $850K. That's another example. What Bill happened? Clinton almost got taken down by a side chick. Like, what are you doing with your life?
That's true, because he was getting a BJ at the White House.
Okay. Joey says that we're ghetto. Yeah. And I grew up in the hood.
Bella, tell him about Lativo.
Oh, guys, great news. Great news. MPL is growing, and we're doing what we wanted to do, which was always our dream. Ideally, from the beginning of Mostly Peaceful Latinas, we wanted to find a way of making bilingual content. Now, clearly, you know, we're self-funded, no Illuminati, no lizard people. We only have you guys to help us. So as far as how often we can record, and that it's something that we're working towards, and we're going to be growing more over the next year or so. However, one of our goals was always to be able to reach out into the Spanish-speaking audience, and we have a new sponsor. So Lativa Plus is our new sponsor, and they are going to be an online collection of web content available as an alternative resource for people that maybe watch, maybe not you guys, but maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents. Maybe your parents or grandparents that only listen to Univision or Telemundo. Lativa Plus is going to be an option that's going to now be available to Spanish speakers that is completely unbiased. They're going to have all kinds of programming, movies, entertainment, podcasts like ours, news. It is going to be a streaming service, and you are going to be able to find all of the Mostly Peaceful content on there, subtitled in Spanish. So if you ever wanted to get your abuela or your tia to check out what Linda and I are talking about, Lativa Plus is going to be the space where you can do that now. Now, aside from the Spanish content, we are going to have a little MPL after hours official this week. Every week after our podcast, we will be creating an additional 30 to 45 minutes of content for Lativa, special and exclusive just for them. And we're so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to keep you guys posted. I'm going to actually link it right here. I don't know why it's doing this. That's going to launch this week. And I can't even. I don't know what's good.
Something's going on with our computers right now. My thing's acting crazy.
Look, I go like this, copy.
Yeah.
And then I try to paste it. Oh, now it does. Okay.
There you go. Check it out, Lativa Plus. We should be launching. The first episode should be available by next week. So there's probably going to be a couple of days delay.
We will definitely keep you guys posted.
We'll keep you guys. There's going to be a couple of days.
I'll post it on Wake Up with Linda. Yeah. And if you guys don't follow us on Twitter, please follow us at MPL, MPL Podcast 305.
Yeah. No Spanish Spanglish content. We try to do a little bit of very good looking Spanglish content here in Mostly Peaceful. Guys, but yeah, we're going to have a little bit of everything. But yeah, guys, the subtitles are such a huge deal for us, and hopefully we'll be able to create a lot more content for them and a lot more content for you guys coming soon. But for now, if you do have Spanish speakers, maybe you want to give it as a present. Maybe you want to give your mom or your dad or your grandma.
They're going to have movies. They're going to have documentaries. Correct. They're going to have podcasts. It's going to be great. I linked it here.
If you're looking for, if you're looking for a way to deprogram your abuelos and your abuelas and your tías, then give them a subscription to Lativa Plus and get them out of the matrix of Telemundo and Univision.
Yes. All right, guys, here's another crazy story that I actually found today. The Boston Herald archived it and I posted it on Twitter if you follow us there. And basically, last weekend, the Boston paramedics were called to a house in the projects. And they were called because a tranny orgy, a transgender cross-dresser all-male orgy got out of control. And when the paramedics arrived, there was a man that had an overdose and he was dead. There was about six other males. They were all cross-dressers wearing wigs. And when the paramedics inspected the apartment, they found a male with four children, ages six, I think 9 and 10, if I'm not mistaken. And they were basically with a guy that had like a wig, and the guy was like trying to hide them from the police and the first responders. There was dildos and sex toys all over the place, unsanitary conditions, really, really horrible. Of course, you haven't heard about it. And somebody said on TV, but it's been pretty quiet. As a matter of fact, when I looked at the story, it came from tweets, and then I had to go into the Boston Globe, I posted it, I forgot the, basically it was archived, and they're not really talking about it because they don't want the community, the beautiful LGBT community, the community that does nothing wrong, to look bad. So this is what it says. A dead man in drag, drugs, dildos, and four kids were discovered in a South Boston public housing at a tranny party on Saturday. How is this not the biggest story? Julia, basically, they're trying to keep it low-key since it happened in a very liberal city of Boston and since it includes the LGBT community. It came from the Boston Herald. So
somebody asked,
happy was it, pride.
Was it Andrew Gillum with them there with the children? Where? Oh, Vince in the comments asked, was it Andrew there with the children?
Yes.
Yeah, you would think so, right? I can't get to anything around here. David, thank you so much for supporting us. David coming through with a contribution saying, bad manosphere advice to get rich when they're high value. Get your, and then wait. Bad manosphere advice to get rich when you're high value, get your, and then wait until you're high value to get your woman. I got married in college, and for the last 12 years, I don't think I'd be as successful without a loving wife to come home to that took care of our inner needs as I handled our outer needs. Thank you, David. And can you imagine how many bad women David could have been exposed to on his journey that could have prevented? Look, you know what's a perfect example of it? Look at Myron from Fresh and Fit. How many women haven't come forward saying like, oh, he tried to slide into my DMs. He tried to like do this. He tried to do that. He tried to do whatever. Anyways, thank you, David. We've got a contribution from Erica Torres. Erica, thank you so much, my dear. And Ali says, Miami Anti-Fash reported in detail. Shared tweet even included one of Linda's, stating in context section that this group incites violence in our community. Thank you, Ali. It's true. We need all the support that we can get. This Miami Against Fash page is very well connected to the press, very well connected to big tech. So the only resource that we have to depend on is you guys and helping us get that information out there. So for Pride Month, we have this story coming out of Boston. These children are found, and the most astounding part is that the media seems to be completely silent on this.
Yeah, somebody asked, I'm sorry to interrupt on that story really quick. Somebody asked about our Instagram, Alejandra Rodriguez. The reason why we're not active on Instagram right now, it's because Antifa Miami, Miami Against Fascism on Twitter reported our account to Meta and said, I don't know what the hell they said, whatever, the you know, insurrection is whatever it is. And they took our account down. I have been communicating with Meta to try to get it back. So I'll keep you guys posted. In the meantime, go on Twitter and follow us there. We are going to create another Instagram. You can always follow Wake Up With Linda.
Once
we get the okay from Facebook, we are going to let you guys know. But you can also keep, I just haven't been on Instagram on Wake Up With Linda because it's just, I honestly, I'll be honest with you guys, like the whole DeSantis Trump situation just has me like, I'm like over it. Like I'm fucking over it. Like I'm over the same, the fucking complaining from everybody. I'm over having to hear like, oh, Trump pushed the vaccine or the lockdowns or this, like they made this entire thing about COVID. People have moved on from COVID. Nobody talks about COVID. I walked in to get my nails done yesterday, which by the way, I'm already sick of this freaking highlighter color. And I walked in to get my nails done yesterday. And the first thing that the two nail techs were asking was, what are we going to do about 2024? Is Trump going to win? The economy sucks, inflation. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. My groceries don't go up, blah, 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 blah. Like, people don't give a shit about COVID anymore. My grandma got vaccinated. My aunts got vaccinated. My cousins were forced to get vaccinated. Her dad got vaccinated. Almost everybody that we know got vaccinated. We didn't get vaccinated. But guess what? A lot of people did. Do you think those people are crying about the vaccine? No one, literally not a single person that I know. Let me tell you something. I did not want my grandma to get vaccinated. And we tried like telling her, but it was like so bad in Colombia that they were like literally forced to get it. Like they had like no choice. Right. And I wish she would have gotten vaccinated. I think maybe some of her health problems now could be potentially, I don't want to say anything else because of, you know, the YouTube rules. But anyways, the point is, I wish you wouldn't have. But guess what? A lot of these people, my friends that got vaccinated here in Miami, they're not complaining about this stuff. The fact that the DeSantis campaign wants to make his entire campaign about transgender, picking on transgenders, picking on Bud Light, and picking on Trump for Fauci and all these things, right, that people are suffering in this economy. Like, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that I know that are rich. I know people in all sides of the economic spectrum. I know people that are like, I have no idea there's a recession. Like, I just got out of Chanel and spent $25,000 on two bags. And there's people that are like, seriously, like this week I'm not going to eat meat because it's that expensive. Correct. And I have to make the decision that I'm just going to eat fucking tuna and beans this week. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. And you cannot, the working class is not worrying about Dylan Mulvaney. The working class is not worried about Bud Light. The working class is worried about their pockets. And that's the bottom line. You can sit here and say the culture wars are important. The culture wars are important. I think the culture wars are very important. And I think conservatives are actually winning. You want to know how we're winning? Today, the National Hockey Association, you know what they said? That there's not going to be any more LGBT pride flags in their uniforms because it's distracting. Of course it's distracting because you got a bunch of backlash. That's why it's distracting. That's a win, right? Starbucks saying that they don't want any more pride flags or transgender flags or whatever in their stores is also a win because they see that the culture is shifting. Right. They may make it about, oh, for the safety of our employees, because they're always going to say some corporate shit so that you don't like, oh, they're caving. Oh, for the safety of our employees, we're not going to have display. No, it's because, you know. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some independent stores are still going to keep. I'm sure South Beach is going to be bright out every single time. I personally don't care. I never go there. But the reality is that these things are good for us to fight online, for us to apply pressure, but you can't run a presidential campaign for 320 million people in America, maybe half of that votes, or maybe a quarter. I don't know how many people vote. I don't know. Let's say 150 million right. people vote and make it about Bud Light today, the DeSantis campaign release. I would have shown you guys, but you can actually see if you go to DeSantis War Room on Twitter, you could see their newest 30-second digital ad against Donald Trump. You want to know what they're fighting about? The fact that apparently back in 2012, when Donald Trump was still the owner of Miss America or the pageants or Miss USA, whatever it's called, apparently he let a Canadian transgender woman compete in Miss Universe or compete in one of the pageants. What was it, Miss Universe or Miss USA? I think it was
Miss USA.
Canada, if he's in Canada, is Miss Universe. Uh-huh. Yes. Anyways, so they asked them, so the DeSantis campaign is attacking Trump over some transgender women from Canada that was allowed to compete in Miss World or Miss Universe back in 2012. Like, I'm sorry, but if I don't know anything about politics, right? Like, I'm not who I am. Bella's not who she is. I'm just a regular voter. I'm not on Twitter every single day. I'm just trying to vote for the best guy. Do you really think that I'm going to just cast a vote for Ron DeSantis because Donald Trump 12 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever many years ago, through corporate policy, allowed this transgender woman to compete?
What are they going to do when they realize that the majority of this country is pro-vaccine and will actually are perfectly fine with Operation Warp Speed?
Well, I don't think they care. I don't think they care about that, because there's crazy people like Stu Peters who had to unfollow on Twitter saying that Trump needs to be tried in court martial.
Crazy Stu Peters.
Stu Peters. Literally, he says that Trump is responsible for every single COVID death. You know what it is? This is why.
Remember when they invited us to go on his show? We were like, absolutely.
No, fuck out. No. I'm not going to fucking crazy ass fucking Stu crazy Peters. Fucking,
there's snake venom in the Stu water.
We have way bigger.
Can I tell you how I'm dying with this comment? As Laura Loomer pointed out, DeSantis has no plan on website, only a button that says meet Casey.
Where?
This one right here, Christina says, as Laura Loomer pointed out,
DeSantis
has no plan on website, only a button that says meet Casey.
So this is something that somebody,
Casey DeSantis is literally the entire fucking campaign, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And here's, this guy says, Big Armada says, also people didn't need DeSantis to boycott Bud Light, Target, etc. People took it upon themselves to just not give him their money or their business. There's no need to run a campaign on any of this. There's no need to do that. Thank
you. This is like, the argument that we have made time and time again. Ron DeSantis has gloated himself as, I am the governor of freedom in the free state of Florida. And the entire time, he's been riding the backs of the activists in Florida that have actually driven change. He's not the leader of the culture war. He is a politician that has followed the trends of what the base that he wants to vote for him has asked for. The people have left him with no choice but to take the actions that he has taken, because Florida is by far the state with the most activism than any other state. By far. And he has done an incredible job at taking away our credit, but more importantly, taking away our testimony to share with the rest of the country, which is that if enough of you give a fuck and enough of you stand up and enough of you fight back and enough of you make the time to show up to a school board meeting or to a commission meeting or to write a letter to your state senator or get to know your state representative, where enough of you did that, you could drive change. Why? Because we did it in fucking Florida and we did it in Miami-Dade that was pure fucking blue. And they will die to you. And Ron DeSantis will say that he did that. And it is a lie. Ron DeSantis kept Florida locked up well into 2021. If it wasn't because activists didn't shut the fuck up, we'd probably still be locked up now.
Yesterday, I had to, and I think this morning, today, I had to point out the fact that, but in August of 2021, and in fact, in September of 2021, parents in Miami-Dade were still protesting the mask at schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because people don't like it when you say that, and their automatic response is, well, DeSantis doesn't make local laws. See, because he's not a fascist, because he's not a dictator. So he leaves it up to the people that make it's like, do you see why you can't say that Florida was free when certain counties and cities like Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, West Palm Beach, and Fort Lauderdale were shut down and or had horrible restrictions? Because the reason why our local petty tyrants were allowed to do that for that long was because Ron DeSantis kept signing the executive order. I don't have a problem saying that Ron DeSantis was better than many governors around the country, including Gavin Newsom, including Chris Cuomo, including all these blue states. I don't have a problem saying that, but there were 8 Republican states. Granted, their population a lot smarter than us, like Idaho, North Dakota, stuff like that. But you can't actually say that you were the best response of COVID or for COVID in 2020 when your state was still closed, when there was horrible restrictions. Mm-hmm. There was points in time where I remember that my gym, Legacy Fit, did not want to implement mask. The owner was totally against it and he fought it. Guess what? He was getting swatted randomly, fucking SWAT team cars, all these people for mask, to the point that I remember that he was like, Linda, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to keep your mask in close proximity in case the cops come and we make a signal and everybody has to be masked up while we work out. And of course, at this point, only 5 people can be at the gym because of this situation. You know what Legacy Fit ended up doing back when they had their old building? They actually paid for a massive tent. Okay, because this is how bad the restrictions were in Miami. They actually paid to build a massive tent that cost them, I don't know how much money, with the floor, because they also had to put floor, right? So that we can work out outside without a mask. That's what Legacy, that's what my gym had to do so that we could comply with the restrictions that Miami still had. How about our curfew? How about the fact that in 2020, in 2020, we still couldn't celebrate freaking New Year's because of our restrictions. I mean, I could go on for days. Fam, over everything.
In 2021, I remember that we went to go eat at what was this club that we went to, and they kicked us out.
Oh my God.
Remember they kicked us out?
We went to Mint. We went to Mint. Yeah. We went to eat at Mint 2, and then we went to Mint, and by midnight, we had to leave Mint.
They kicked us out of
by midnight. I mean, we had to get out of the club. Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know what I mean?
Everybody raving, everybody popping bottles, everybody sweating on each other, everybody having a great time. But somehow, magically, at 12 o'clock, COVID became a really serious issue and everybody had to go home. Thank you to Stacy for coming through as usual. Stacy, we love you so much. And to Perla, who says, hello from degenerate communist state of New York.
Hi,
love
Perla.
The pod, and you guys look great. Thank you. Guys, you guys like our new studio? Are you guys loving the new setup? Are you guys loving this?
I'm going to tell you guys, if you don't leave yet, if you are a man, especially, I want you to listen to this next story. So let me rewind. If you've been listening to us for the past couple months, you know that we've told you about our stalker, this woman named Alexandra Caballero, the one that owns a smoke shop, 2 smoke shops here in Miami, how she's a crazy person, how she has shown up to my house, how she tried to put a restraining order on us, how we had to go to court, how she literally lied and said that we wanted to kidnap her children. You guys know exactly who I'm talking about. If you don't know, long story short is that in 2021, we met a woman one time. I want to make that very clear. We met a woman, a mother in Miami that was part of the school board protests, and she was working close with the lady from Moms for Liberty, Eulalia Jimenez. Anyways, a whole drama has happened. I cannot even get into details because if I get into details, we're going to be here for 16 hours. But the point is that she ended up cheating on her husband with a Proud Boy at the time. And mind you, this is a married woman with 2 children. And she had a whole affair. We had nothing to do with it. We never hung out with these people because we didn't want to be involved with the drama. We intuitively knew that it was going to, turn out to be very bad. Sometime last year in April, their entire friendship group ends up falling apart. The Pride Boy leaves her.
Right, because scorned women, this needs to be said, the part where she's just a scorned woman, right, because the man she was cheating on her husband with left her.
Yeah.
Go on.
So anyways, long story short is that when she realizes that I am not going to be on her side or anyone's side because I just don't want to get involved in the drama, she starts her harassment campaign against me and, of course, also against Isabella. What is the harassment campaign? She texts you from different numbers, insulting you, bullying you, calling you names. She calls you 1,000 times.
She creates a thousand fake profiles. She slanders you on the internet.
She harasses you. She cyber stalks you. I mean, you name it, she does it. So anyways, that whole time she was going around saying that Proud Boys were harassing mothers, which included her, that they were mean to her. And then so were Moms for Liberty. So this woman is trying to ruin the chapter chair of Miami for Moms for Liberty, while at the same time getting revenge against her ex-lover, who was a Proud Boy. But of course, she has that against him. Haha, Proud Boy, part of a cult, insurrectionist, Nazis, bad person. So anyways, I got a a DM a few weeks ago, maybe like 3 weeks ago, from a Vice News reporter. And he says to me, "Hi, Linda, I have a couple questions about Moms for Liberty." I answered, at the moment, honestly, I've dealt with Vice before. They are liberal. They're pretty horrible. But I was like, whatever. I've dealt with Vice before. Like, hey, what's up? I was very nice about it. I was like, yeah, sure. Like, call me or email me. I forgot. He ends up calling me. And I said, what questions do you need to know? I don't, like, I'm not part of Moms for Liberty. So I'm not sure why you're contacting me, right? Maybe because he saw him in Miami. Who knows? Like, I wasn't putting two and two together. So this guy tells me, get ready for this. He tells me, I spoke to an ex Moms for Liberty member. Her name is Alexandra Caballero. And she alleges that after she left Moms for Liberty, there was a harassment campaign started against her. And that included you. That the chapter of Moms for Liberty Miami, Eulalia Jimenez, has sent you along with Proud Boys to harass her.
The Proud Boys,
she had sex with.
The friend that...
Her lover.
Her group of friends that we never hung out with.
Ever.
You guys have even heard us say before that we don't really fuck with the Miami chapter of Moms for Liberty.
Ever.
And it's because of all of this, because it was always involved in one ghetto mess after another. But...
So I stop him real quick and I go... I'm like... I cannot believe that this is your source. I'm like, your source has been in court more than 10 times in the last year, involved in different cases where she has claimed that people want to kidnap her children. That's what she says to the family court so they can believe all women. You know, that whole believe women. That's what she says to the court so that the courts can grant her a temporary injunction. And then she could say that she has a temporary injunction against you because you were harassing her and stalking her and you wanted to commit violence against her and you were going to kidnap her children. Okay. So I tell him all this and he's like, well, she showed me text messages that you sent her. And I go, first of all, I don't even know if those text messages are herself texting herself to make me look bad, as she has done plenty of times. And I go, second of all, we don't know what those, like, how am I involved in any of this? I said, don't contact me again. If you put me in this story, which is completely fabricated, I'm going to have my lawyer contact you. So he follows up with a couple of questions like a week later. And he's like, oh, like you said, because I told them, I said, I have no contact with Moms for Liberty. I've never been part of Moms for Liberty. I've never been director asked by Moms for Liberty, national or Miami, to harass this woman or anyone else for that matter. My situation with Alexandra is that she's obsessed with me. She's trying to ruin my reputation. She's trying to ruin my brand and involve me into a story that I do not want to get involved, never wanted to get involved, but she's obsessed with me. So of course he doesn't care because all he wants is his story. He ends up DMing me once again. And he's like, oh, like Miss Quadros, like you said, you know, these people are fucking idiots. Like you said that like, you didn't know Moms for Liberty Miami, Miss Eulalia Jimenez, but here you are in a picture with her. And I'm like, no, I actually didn't say that. I said that I'm not friends with her. I met her at an event. That's where we've met. I obviously have a big platform. People take pictures with me all the time. It doesn't make me an accomplice. It doesn't make me like whatever. So the article comes out. They leave me out of the article because, you know, clearly they can't prove that I was sent by Moms for Liberty.
Well, they can't prove any of the shit.
They can't prove any of the thing. But the article goes, the article is basically trying to paint Moms for Liberty as some sort of like Ku Klux Klan, like thug association that has Proud Boys working with them and they harass people and they intimidate mothers. And then this woman used to be part of it and she partook in these harassment campaigns, but it was all because Moms for Liberty made her. They made her. And the article makes no mention of her sleeping with this Proud Boy, that she was going to get a divorce. She was literally going through a divorce. It doesn't end there. Last year, when she tried to put a restraining order on this man, where she lied and said, that this man wanted to kidnap her children and he was part of a cult. They didn't actually give her the restraining order.
So ghetto.
It's so ghetto. People are probably confused. Like, what is this girl saying? But my point is that she ended up getting a restraining order against this man because she lied to the courts. And you know what she did? She called Thomas Kennedy, who's a liberal reporter, so that he could go to the RUC, to the RUC meeting, to the Republican meeting that her ex-lover was part of, and serve him and have a reporter outside getting the footage so they could say that to them, sell that to the media. And that was actually sold to the media, and that made it the rounds of New York Times and MSNBC and all these different outlets saying that Proud Boys had grabbed or taken over the Miami GOP. All because one scorned lover. She hasn't let it go. It has now been over a year since this relationship ended. She's still married and she still has a husband and two children. Despite that, and despite the fact that people have had to change their phone numbers, we don't go around anything. We literally try to avoid her. She doesn't stop. And she just got another fake news media article written about her where they actually highlight the fact that Eulalia, the Moms for Liberty chapter chair of Miami, had a short-lived relationship with Chris Barcenas, an ex-Proud Boy, also member of the RUC GOP Miami. But they don't mention how she was cheating on her husband. Mm-hmm. They don't mention the fact that she's a serial stalker. They don't mention the fact that she has doxed my private phone number, forcing me to change it. They don't mention the fact that she has shown up to my home unannounced. They don't mention the fact that she harasses people. They don't mention the fact that she has also, it's there, it's actually there. This is a woman. Mm-hmm. This is a woman that has been terrorizing our lives for the past year and a half. A woman that I met one time. I met this woman one time in my life. And this woman tried to put a restraining order against me, says that I wanted to kidnap. In the restraining order, she literally wrote out to the judge that I called her employee and that I told her employee that I was going to kidnap her children. The words
said that I was
the words kidnap are literally written on paper. Said the same thing about her. Said the same thing about Moms for Liberty, who's a grandma and has six children, and about seven other people of our community. This is the woman that Vice News believed and wrote a hit piece for. This is the woman that's trying to ruin our lives, by the way, trying to ruin the lives of her ex-lover who's moved on. The guy's not even on social media. He doesn't do shit. He's like,
he's had to disappear.
This man probably left to like Ukraine and change his name because this man would probably fight honestly in the war of Ukraine and die than be around
this crazy woman.
Like, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. This is a woman terrorizing us. I want you guys to know that.
So we bring this up and we say men need to pay attention because here's the problem. This is what happened when you're out there messing with hoes. This woman is a former stripper.
Lord and behold.
A former porn star. And I'm sure she sounded like a whole lot of fun. And now here we are in an entire community. You need to understand this is
by this woman.
The Miami-Dade GOP has gotten national attention because One woman was mad that the man she was cheating on her husband with left her to be with his baby's mother.
Yeah.
And this is why you don't date 35 women before you get married. This is why you find the one good woman. This is why you choose a woman based on good things. Not like her husband that chose her because they did drugs together at Club Space.
Mm.
Very important. That's what happens when you don't choose women for the right reasons. You end up with creatures like Alexandra.
A literal creature. Yep. So
this is the entire
story.
Community now paying the price. because this one unhinged woman, unchecked, the woman has seen the inside of a Miami-Dade courtroom at least 16 times in the last 2 years. 10 cases, was it, directly involving herself?
She has been involved in 16 cases. That means that she was also listed as a witness for, like, her other friends that are also insane. And out of those 16 times, 10 of those times, she was either a defendant or a plaintiff. Out of those 10 times, 6 of those times were restraining orders that she tried to file against people. Were those 6 victims? Me, Isabella, her ex-boyfriend Noel, Chris Parcenas, Lolly, and I forgot.
Caleb and Elizabeth.
Yeah, but those were against her. Okay. Yeah, so I forgot the other person.
It's bipartisan. Psychopath.
She also showed up to the houses of two, and imagine, this woman has terrorized Antifa.
She scared
this woman has terrorized Antifa.
Antifa scared of them.
Literally, Antifa scared of her because that's how insane she is. Okay. So for those of you men that want to, like, fuck around with, like, these type of women because they're fun and they're strippers, so, and they're going to suck your dick.
Yeah, well,
this is what happens.
Danny writes, you know how hard it is to find a good woman in the United States? Like, come on, bro. No, I don't. Let me explain something to you. There are good women out there. The problem is that y'all want options of good women. Y'all think that there's just, like, a plethora of good women. So when a good woman comes around, you stay with one eye open wondering, well, maybe one with a hotter rack comes around.
Right.
Or maybe one that's a little prettier will come around. Or one that does that looks a little better. Whatever the fuck it is that you guys are prioritizing. There are good women out there, but men friend zone women just as often as men as women friend zone men. The only difference is that you don't actually friend zone them. You just kind of, like, throw them aside, right? Or you only call them past a certain time, or you do dirt to them, and then when they move on, you're like, oh well, it didn't matter anyways. So there are good women out there, just like there are good men. The same way that the Manosphere says, like, oh, just look at your friend zone. Look at all the women that you've turned your back on. Because I promise you, there are good women amongst those that had to deal with the fact that maybe you were into somebody else that maybe wasn't that into you. Because let's be honest, that's kind of a standard for a lot of men. A lot of men are what we call in Spanish, hijos del maltrato, which means that the worst a woman treats them, for some benign reason, they're more attracted to them. The sweet girls, how many times haven't you met good girls that are like, I was so good, and bitches always win, and whatever the fuck. And then when that good girl gets tired of getting fucked over, and then she turns into a bitch, then you say that she's post-war and filled with trauma and all these other things because dirtbags ran through her, hurt her, and now she turned into that. So let's not act like this is a one-sided thing where it's like there's no good women in the U.S. I also think that
this is kind of like the mentality of the passport bros, which are the bros that are going to, like, Singapore and Indonesia and Colombia and other places to get women. And there's a few reasons why they do that. Number one is because it's cheaper for you. So a woman in Colombia whose average salary is like $1,000 a month, if that... You know, sometimes that's why they have to resort to OnlyFans or prostitution or cam girls, because they actually make more money than if they were to get a job at a freaking corporate company or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's actually better to be a hoe over there. A lot of these women are looking for a trade exchange, which means that they don't really love you. They don't even know you. They want papers. They want to get out of the situation. If you're up for that, because you could have a little bit more control over these women, you know, you may make $50,000 a year. And to a girl in Miami, I mean, I'm not saying every girl, but maybe the girls you're shooting for somewhere else or somewhere else in the U.S., like, okay, well, $50,000 is nothing. But to a person in Colombia or a person somewhere else, you're making a lot of money, and they're going to be able to adjust to that lifestyle, or not adjust, but they're going to upgrade their lifestyle. So that's a few of the reasons why a lot of these men, oh, there's no good women in the U.S., there's no good women in the U.S., and then they resort to going to other places.
Right, but what it is that they're just trying to buy themselves better options, right?
Right, right.
I think the same thing as, like, we talk about how a woman can be, like, a Miami 3 and then, like, a Nebraska 10.
Yeah.
Right? It's, like, the same thing that the man is doing. They're like, well, my $50K is going to go further in value, and it's going to get me a woman of necessarily that's going to be more impressed by me with less in another country. And that's really what this whole idea that women are more traditional in other countries, like, Bro, feminism has taken over the entire, like, what are you people talking about? Like, you're going to go to Europe, like, half of these countries are under communist rule. Like, this isn't a United States. This isn't just a United States problem. This ideology is
literally I understand that there's certain countries, like Ukraine would be one of them. Russia would be one of them. Some countries, obviously, in that side of Europe, I think the Asians may be a little bit more submissive as well, just culturally, and some places in South America. I understand what they mean by those type of women. However, okay, you also have to understand that women in the U.S., and I'm not defending this, this is just the way of the world. Women were forced to go into the work space. Not every single woman that was fighting for these rights to go work wanted to do that. And then once you add up the fact that, like, cost of living is more, it's like you have to have a double income. I know traditional people. I know people that are Christian that want their wife to stay at home and work, and they want to do it, but they can't afford it right now. So does that mean that that woman is not traditional? Does that mean that she's not a good woman? People were forced into this situation, right? Maybe we can go back in time. We can't do that. That's kind of like where we are right now.
It was also different times when you look at the fact that a woman stayed home with her parents until it was time to get married.
Right.
Women are getting married much later in life now. They don't stay home with their parents. Therefore, they need to move out. They need to pay for their bills. So, like, you know, somebody
and
like
also Carly, like us, like we were talking about, like, yeah. I didn't grow up with a dad. Like, when we moved here, you know, and I've talked about it, I think it was last podcast, like, I didn't grow up with that dad. And so what was I supposed to do? Like, not work? Because
right.
What am I going to do? Going to college and getting a job was what I had to do because I didn't have a rich mom, you know? Somebody said,
that's
honestly,
the case for a lot of immigrant kids. Like, we're seeing it in the comments right now.
The groypers are Zoomers. So if you're a Zoomer, you have absolutely no life experience. And if you're Gen Z, you probably have spent most of your life and childhood online, which is even worse because you have a horrible, warped view of reality over race, over gender, over marriage. Honestly, marriage isn't worth the money and stress. I really highly doubt that you have money or that you are a target for women that want to take half of your money. If you trust me, the women that want to take money from rich dudes and be sugar daddies, they know where to go. They're not here on YouTube. They're not going to talk to you on Twitter either. They're going to Boca Raton. They're going to Palm Beach. They're going to Miami, and they're not trying to go for groypers.
I don't know why they
don't have.
That.
I don't understand. You're not the target. You're not the target.
$58K for a man, dude. Yeah. Like I said the other day on YouTube, it's not gold digging if there's no gold. It's just right. landscaping.
Right. There's no gold.
It's just landscaping, babe.
And like, if you are that rich, you just put certain things in place. If you're so wealthy, you have all this wealth. Let's say you're worth $10 million, which to some people that may be low in terms of wealth, right? Some people are worth like billions or hundreds of thousands, but let's say you're a rich person, you have $10 million and you have a Bugatti or whatever, you have a badass car, you have a house. I mean, if you don't want to get married, you could just have baby mamas and do whatever you want. Sure, do your thing. But if you do want to get married, just get a fucking prenup. Just get a fucking prenup.
Just get a prenup.
The girl that really and truly wants to be with you is not going to want to take your fortune. Personally, me, I would never want to take someone's, like, and Trump did it to Melania. And Trump's talked about it after he was with Marla Staples too, I think. Like, none of his wives built that with him. So why should he give any of these women half of his hotels and half of his cars or half of everything that he's accumulated? I'm sure that he gave him a nice severance package, if you want to call it that, and left them pretty well off. But at the end of the day, he's not going to give him his fortune that he built. He's going to give that to his children. You know,
there's a comment that I want to address. Danny Ugo says, I guess that he chose the wrong woman. Sorry, yeah. Danny. Sorry that you chose the wrong woman. She was a virgin and 18 when I met her and from a Christian family. Tell me how I could have chosen any better. I'm 31 and had plenty of relationships. That's the problem, that the manosphere convinced y'all that somehow, a virgin that lives at home with her parents at 18 and is a virgin, that somehow that just makes them a good woman. Those are not the things that make a good woman. A good woman is a person that's going to help build you up, a person that's going to hold you down, a person that's going to, that's not going to be impressed because you moved to Miami and there's guys with a little bit more money or six pack abs. You are the definition of a good high value woman per the Manosphere is not a concise definition of what a good woman is, because like Danny will tell you himself, he met a virgin that he was with when she was 18 and she was a Christian and that wasn't enough. Yeah, correct, because that is not enough. That's also part of the reason as to why you want to date mature women. I'm not telling you that you need to date 40-year-olds. God, that's not the point that I'm trying to make.
No, absolutely
but this idea
not.
That women are post-wall, past the age of 25, when your frontal lobe doesn't even completely develop until the age of 24, that's problematic because you're dating children that have a different perception of life. So you do not know what happens with children. They're still growing. They're still developing. So you don't know who you married if you only married when you were 18 years old. You're still getting to know each other. So if the only parameters that you have for choosing a wife is that she be 18 and a virgin, you might have a possibility of choosing wrong, bud. Unfortunately, I'm sorry that that happened to you, but I can assure you it's not an all-woman thing. I know plenty of good women that don't cheat on their husbands, that don't cheat on their boyfriends, that aren't looking out for money, and that weren't, I mean, we're older now, but weren't doing that when they were 20s either. Shit, I was a Hooters girl. I worked at Hooters with actual hoes, and there were girls within Hooters. There were good girls that had good relationships. So the problem is that you guys want to define women by like a checklist, kind of how you define high value men. Oh, if they have a Bugatti, if they have this, if they've got status in the community, then that's high value. And then with a woman, if she's a virgin, if she's 18, if she doesn't have life experience, it's flawed because character is not defined by whether or not you are a virgin.
It's kind of the reason why I've talked about Lauren Sanchez and Jeff Bezos. Why was he going to go for a 22, 23-year-old model with no life experience who just looks good on his yacht? He chose an older woman who had a career, who held a conversation, who does charity work, who does a lot more. And the reality is...
I know, Bella writes, I'm not leaving my dad's house until I'm 32, honestly.
No, seriously.
That's a very, you know what, but that's also like a very, well, we go back to the conservative cultures, right? Because it's nothing is isolated. Women just aren't fucked up and women, men just aren't fucked up. Why? Annabella probably grows up in a Hispanic household, a Hispanic household that wants to baby you for as long and they will let you stay home and they do want to take care of you. So
there's one thing where I like the Groyper guy just said, he said, I'm in my late 20s. I see no reason to rush into marriage. I don't want to enjoy my 30s and money I've earned. Maybe I'll settle later in life. Honestly, you do you. I'm a little bit tired of hearing the same conservative talking points online. And if you don't go along with them, then you're not a true conservative. You know, I've had this discussion with Anthony. They're like, you know, get married young, get married young, get married young. Yes and no. Like, I'm sorry, but like not, it's not going to work out for everybody. Like, it's not going to be, it's not going to be the same for everybody. So if you are at the point of your life where you want to enjoy, especially as a man, a woman has to worry about children and other things. Right. But if you are a man, if you're in your early 20s, if you're saving up your money, if you want to enjoy it and then wait, then just fucking do that.
But here's, and here's like, my question to you, Groyplay. You say, I want to enjoy my 30s and the money I have earned. My question to you is, what makes you think that you're unable to enjoy your life in your 30s with one woman? Like, what? Why is part of enjoyment, like, is the opposite of enjoyment one woman to you, where you think that there's only fun and pleasure in having multiple women? Because I promise you, there's many couples out there that are traveling the world, doing business ventures, sharing a life together, trying new experiences, couples that do that. So I guess that kind of this idea where being 30 and married is synonymous with not having a fulfilling, fun life, I don't get that, because I am close to 40 years old. My husband and I have traveled the world together. I've shared all kinds of crazy ass
fun experiences and first times together. And that's never been something that held us back. But our monogamy was never something that held us back. I understand that maybe in your early 20s, the idea of staying home and Netflixing and chilling sounds like absolute torture. But I promise you, there is a point in everyone's life where that feeling of home, that nurturing space does matter, and you're going to want that. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a man or a woman, the problem is, and again, you can date whenever it is that you want, get married at whatever time it is that you want. What you define as fun is mm-hmm. many women in your 30s. So don't be shocked when you meet a lot of bad women, because good women are not a million of them. The same way that there's not a million high value men, there is limited. You're going to have access to some good women and a lot of bad women. So don't be shocked when you spend your 30s, your all of your 20s and your 30s dating. And then at the end of that, you have a really bad testimony about your interactions with women. And it's because you were never dating for value. You were dating for numbers.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he says it
no,
here.
He's young. He's young. He's
I
young.
Just, I, you know, it's even for women, you know, they want you to don't go to college is the new one. Don't go to college and get married young and stuff like that. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Let's say it doesn't work. What do you have? How are you going to sustain yourself? Not everyone's rich.
Yeah.
Suppose that you're 20 years old. You don't go to college. You don't have any skills. You married a guy, an average guy, makes an average salary. 5 years later, you end up getting a divorce. What are you going to do? You're going to start from zero. So tell me, what are you going to do? Your husband makes an average salary, so what you're going to get for your child, for that child support or whatever, it's going to be very minimal. You're going to have to get a skill. So I'm always very torn to just tell women to be nothing, right. And just be and not have any skills at all, because even women that I know that are stay-at-home moms and preach this lifestyle, develop the online skill set absolutely. So that they could sell courses and other things.
Look at somebody like money. Jen. Jen does her little oils from home. Mm. She's with her kids all yeah. day. She always has a little where she was making bowls, whatever. Like that's a friend of ours, Jennifer the Paz. Mm. You know, it's like there's other things. And then the point that we made a couple of podcasts ago, which is like, guys, what do you think that the women with no responsibilities are doing? What are they filling their time with? If you don't have a job, if you're not going to school, if you're not busy with those things, self-development, going to the gym, doing your thing, then what are you busy with? Please consider that. Mm-hmm. If the women are not busy building on themselves, then what are they dedicating time to? Partying, also, getting invited places, all sorts of stuff. The idle hands are the devil's playthings. So again, this broken ideology that somehow women who are independent, work, go to school, that they have less value in the dating market.
It's crazy.
It's flawed.
No, and the same thing with the younger. One of my followers is, I won't say her name right now. She's a pretty big account. She's not political at all. She's just like a mom influencer. And she had four beautiful children with this older man. I think it was like 30 years older. Mm-hmm. And I just found out 2 weeks ago that she's getting a divorce. So now she's like 27 years old with four children. On her own, she obviously did what the Manosphere said, which is marry the older guy, way older, with money, and you'll be fine and set. She probably will be set with child support and alimony, I'm sure. But she doesn't have a, she's not gonna have a marriage anymore, you know. So even in that, marry the younger woman, and it's just you have a 50-50 chance whether you married at the same age range or you're marrying an older woman or younger. It just, you know, I don't know if you guys know this guy, and we got to cut
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we
got
to get going.
But there is I don't know if you guys know Sean Wallen. He's the owner of that company. What is it called? One of the t-shirt companies that sells really well for Patriots. I forgot whatever.
The
Lion Not Sheep. And, you know, he talks about why he chose his girl. And obviously you could tell she's an older girl, an older woman. And obviously a lot of it has to do with like peace of mind and helping out the business and understanding him. And you know, he lives with his kids, I think, so that's like, you know, she's become like a stepmom. So there's a lot of factors that go through this that perhaps a younger woman would have never wanted to assume the role of a stepmom because maybe she's 23 years old and she's like, what the fuck am I doing with like teen kids?
They're not my kids.
But guys, please don't forget to check out Sentry H2O.
I want to give one last shout out. We got one contribution that came in towards the end and it was very sweet. Hold on, my computer. James says, hey, I love listening to you guys. Wish I could give more. James, your contribution is so very much appreciated. You guys, we really depend on you guys to help get this podcast off the ground. So you guys coming in here every week and supporting us just means the world to us. We're so appreciative of Sentry H2O for being our sponsor and believing in us. The amazing product that we're allowed to be involved with. We're so grateful to Lativa Plus, who's now going to have investing into us and creating additional content for you guys on this amazing platform that's really going to help take on this unfair advantage that liberals have in the Spanish-speaking market. So again, thank you guys so much for being here with us. Particularly, we're not going to lie, with our Instagram page gotten taken down when you work so hard for that. It hurt. Especially when you realize that it is a targeted campaign and you realize that this is the world that we exist in, that you could be targeted like that unfairly. So your support means so much more to us today than maybe any other day. So we appreciate you guys being here with us and we'll see you guys next week.